Our seventh case for this morning is Mazur v. Holder, 13-22-96. Mr. Bratton.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Scott Bratton on behalf of Bogdan Mazur. The case comes before this Court after the Board issued a decision denying the petitioner's motion to reopen the case. The motion was filed based on the petitioner's request to file new relief in the form of adjustment of status. It was filed pursuant to the Board's decision in matter of Velarde, which allows a case to be reopened while the I-130 petition is pending.
So I would like you to start, at least, by focusing on the government's argument, which is that we have no jurisdiction here. I'm having trouble finding the question of law that might be enough to support our authority, since this is a case where the Board is absolutely clear, as actually was the IJ, that it's denying the motion to reopen as a matter of discretion. So if you could talk a little bit about jurisdiction, that would help.
Yeah, exactly. In this particular case, our argument, the principal argument in the case, is that the Board of Immigration Appeals, in denying the motion to reopen, failed to consider and overlooked material evidence of new equities with respect to the case.
But why is that a legal issue as opposed to simply an argument that the Board got the facts wrong? You know, it didn't pay attention to evidence it should have looked at, maybe it gave too much weight to other evidence, whatever. Those all strike me as factual arguments, and we've said that actually in cases. So this is a denial as a matter of discretion, and it's not like the Board said, we are establishing a new rule that X category of evidence is never relevant in BIA matter. I mean, they don't say anything that looks like a rule of law to me. So what is the rule of law?
Well, in this Court's decisions in Iglesias and Champion, the Court held that a claim that the Board's erroneously failed to consider as ignored evidence is an allegation of legal error that is subject to review by this Court. And going back to the Iglesias case, in that case, the motion to reopen was denied under, it was a Velarde motion to reopen, and it was denied for failure to submit clear and convincing evidence the marriage was bona fide. In that case, the Board failed to mention any of the actual evidence that was submitted. So they said the evidence submitted doesn't establish that there's clear and convincing evidence that the marriage is bona fide, which is required for reopening under Velarde, but the Board failed to consider any of the evidence that was submitted. And this Court in Iglesias said that that is a legal issue. Now, it was found to be harmless error because of the nature of the evidence, but they found that that was a question of law that was subject to review by this particular Court. The Champion case involved a cancellation of removal application.
But see, that can make a big difference because the standard of review for the underlying point varies. And here, the Board goes all the way to the ultimate question. You know, we don't really care whether you're right or wrong. We just don't think you're the kind of person we want to keep here. We're denying as a matter of discretion. And I think that needs to be taken into account. Because otherwise, if overlooking relevant evidence all by itself or failing to give relevant evidence enough weight is a legal error, there is no jurisdictional limitation.
No,
and it doesn't seem to be the statute Congress wrote.
No, and I understand your point, Your Honor. This is a particular case where we're not asking the Court to reweigh the evidence. We're not asking the Court to find that the equities tip in favor of the petitioner in this case. What we're saying is that evidence was overlooked. Just as in Champion, this Court stated, had the Board at least mentioned
specific
evidence.
Why can't the Board say, we have decided, because of your client's criminal history, to exercise our discretion not to grant this relief, and therefore the rest of the evidence is irrelevant? The position that you're taking seems to be that even if the Board, for a stated reason, says you cannot prevail, the Board must discuss everything else in the record. Why would that be so?
The Board has to give consideration to the evidence presented.
Why?
The reason being is under Board case law.
Look, that's not an answer. The Board says, here's our reason. Reason is your client's criminal record. We don't think an alien with that kind of record should be allowed to stay in the U.S. The alien has made other arguments unrelated to the criminal record, and the board says we've exercised our discretion based on the criminal record. Everything else is irrelevant. You seem to be saying that as a matter of law, the board can't do that, and I want to know why, in your view, the board can't do that.
What the board has to do under BIA precedent.
No, don't tell me what the board has to do. I asked you a why question. You need to answer with a reason.
The reason is that it violates board precedent because of the fact that the board has said that you have to take into consideration factors.
You realize the Supreme Court has held that the board can do that. The case is Baghamazbad, INS against Baghamazbad. It's a decision by the Supreme Court saying the board can do what I just stated. Now, do you think Baghamazbad is no longer good law? Is there something going on here that I don't know?
No, what I'm saying is that board precedent is that they have to take into consideration certain factors in exercising discretion. There's a number of factors that have to be taken into consideration. Matter of Tijam, which is cited in the brief, is one of the cases that discusses that. Family ties, residence of long duration, evidence of hardship.
But the board is standing on its right to make these kinds of relevant decisions. You know, once it knows, let's say, that Mr. Mazur has tried to frame his ex-wife in the way he did, that was a sufficiently awful crime that the board says, we really don't care about the rest of the evidence. We're just going to say nothing is going to outweigh our decision. And they haven't waived anything. They haven't given up any power that the Supreme Court acknowledges that they have.
Well, in looking at discretion, it's a balancing test. You have to consider the positives and the negatives.
Well, only if we have the right to review discretionary decisions. There are all sorts of areas of the law where we do have that right. In the administrative area, one can review for abuse of discretion. We review a lot of district court things for abuse of discretion. But the immigration statutes carve out some discretionary decisions, and they say the word of the executive branch is going to be final. There will be no judicial review of this subset of decisions. And so what I'm still trying to understand is why the board's decision in this case doesn't fall in that insulated group.
If the board had weighed all of the factors and reached a conclusion that, look, this criminal offense is just too egregious.
You have written a better opinion.
Well, we can't even, with their opinion, we don't even know if they considered the petitioner's wife's affidavit, which is relevant to this particular case.
And so I'll give you a break and say maybe the best you can say for your argument is that you're trying to make a procedural regularity argument, which is of the type we sometimes see. I'm not sure how far that will go, but I think that's what you're doing.
I mean, essentially what the argument is, the board failed to consider evidence, which it is required to do under board precedent.
Okay.
And therefore, the case should be remanded to allow the board to take into consideration all of the evidence and then issue its discretionary determination. That's the essence of our argument.
Okay. So if you want to save a minute for rebuttal, you may do so.
Thank you.
And we will welcome back to the podium Mr. Stalzer.
Good morning again, and may it please the Court. My name is Rob Stalzer on behalf of the Attorney General. Your Honors, I urge you to dismiss this case for lack
of
jurisdiction.
My name is still Mark Stalzer, or Robert Stalzer, sorry. Yeah, right.
I urge you to dismiss under this Court's precedent, where the Court would lack jurisdiction over an underlying board denial, it also lacks jurisdiction over the denial of a motion to reopen seeking that form of relief. In this case, because the Court would lack jurisdiction over the underlying adjustment denial as a matter of discretion.
We lack jurisdiction except under the conditions in 1252A2D.
Absolutely.
Right? So the alien is saying, rather the alien's lawyer is saying, there's been a violation of a rule of law. The rule of law is, as I understand the argument, that under the Administrative Procedure Act, an agency must follow its own precedents unless it explains why it's overruling them. Contention made this morning is that there is a precedent of the board requiring the board to discuss all of the alien's evidence, even if the board has determined that the evidence is irrelevant. In your view, is there such a precedent?
There is not. The precedent is that the board must consider all of the evidence, not that it must discuss it. It must indicate.
Why must the board consider all the evidence when it's irrelevant? It's perfectly normal for a court, for example, to say, we've decided the case on ground X. Everything else is irrelevant, and we're not going to talk about it. Is it true that the board's precedent precludes it from saying that?
It is. I actually don't know why the board made that decision, but the board in its own precedent decisions has indicated that in a discretionary determination like this, it will consider the positive and the negative factors in their totality before it rules. But I also want to point out, Your Honor, that's exactly what happened in this case. The board explicitly states, considering his positive equities, we do not find they outweigh his considerable negative equities. That's exactly what the board was required to do under its own precedent, and it was required to do no more. And that decision not to exercise discretion is precisely what's not reviewable here. So I urge you to dismiss. If there are no other questions, I will not belabor the point, Your Honors.
Judge Kaney?
No, I have no further questions, or no questions.
Thank you, Your Honors.
No, thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Bratton?
Just briefly, our position is that the board was required under precedent to consider all of the evidence in the case. The evidence was relevant under matter of Tijon.
You heard the board's lawyers say that the board's requirement is to consider everything but not to discuss everything. And the board said it had considered everything. Is there some decision of the board that you'll rely on for the proposition that the board's precedent requires it to discuss everything?
It has to show due consideration for the evidence submitted.
So board precedent would you rely on as the best one for the proposition that the board must discuss the evidence?
I'm not sure about discussion. The Seventh Circuit case of Iglesias is a very...
But the board did say, as Mr. Stalzer pointed out, we've considered the positive equities. That's a signal. It's certainly not a fulsome discussion, but you know, the board is not unaware that there are some positive equities. So you really want a full discussion. You don't want just a nod.
Just an indication that it was considered. Like in Iglesias, they said the evidence doesn't establish...
The board said in this case that it had considered it. We don't adopt a presumption that administrative agencies are lying when they say things.
Well, and the board in Iglesias also said that there's no clear and convincing evidence that they considered it, but they didn't mention any specific evidence, and that's what this court had trouble with in the Iglesias case. Was that we can't know if they did actually consider that evidence if it's not mentioned in the decision. All that the board would have had to do here is say we've considered the petitioner's wife's affidavit, the petitioner's affidavit, and the other evidence, and cite the other evidence that was submitted.
Sounds formulaic.
But in this case, we have no indication that they actually considered that important evidence.
Well, we have an indication that they considered it. They said so. You're asking us to assume that they're lying.
We can't know whether they considered that evidence. Simply saying that considering the equities in the case, it's the same as in the Iglesias case. I'm not asking you to say that they're lying, but we don't know that they actually considered all of the evidence in a huge motion to reopen that was over 200 pages long. We don't know that they considered the evidence.
I think they considered pages 1 through 100, but not 101 to 200.
I have no idea what they considered because the decision doesn't indicate what they did in fact consider.
I think we have your point. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We will take the case under advisement.